Dude, the eclipse. There is like several like Native American like tribes and religions where it is forbidden to look at the moon. And dude, that is like during the eclipse, that is the hardest thing I've ever heard. That is so tight. I mean, like that is
so wait, hold up. So you can't even look at the moon with like sunglasses or anything. You can't look at it at all.
Yeah, you can't look at it at all.
Holy shit, dude.
Let's see if I can find this.
Moon's kind of wild if you think about it. You ever thought, like, we get the phrase lunatic from it. It's kind of wild to think about.
Or a lycanthropy, like being a werewolf.
Yeah, like
you know?
The werewolf, yeah. Yeah, that's true, yeah. The connection between the two. And animals act so fucking weird when shit's off with, like, even us.
Yeah.
Just to recount mine and Terrence's day, we were going around trying to find glasses to look at, which we didn't end up needing because it was overcast and whatever. And a car blew up in the parking lot.
Exploded. Dude, there was a fucking car. It was just smoldering. And a massive, like, all the windows were blown out. And the whole thing was just a black burnt husk. We were like, what?
Wait, did the dance of the celestial bodies, like, trigger some shit with this car? Like, did it just freak out? Like, what happened?
It was.
Well, and it's wild, like, you know, when you block out the sun with the moon, and then, like, all the, like, the starlings come out early, you know what I mean? Like, in the middle of the afternoon and shit.
Dude, I was in my front yard, and we were supposed to get, like, we were supposed to be, I think, within 80% of the totality, but it was a little overcast, but it did get a little dark, man, and it got real quiet. Like, all the birds, I guess, and the squirrels and shit like that, they were like, oh, it's nighttime?
Yeah.
It's like, it's time to sleep?
I think it's the Navajo. Like, they are, the sun bearer carries the sun disk across the sky. I'm trying to find it. Navajo people must stay indoors with closed windows and doors and not look outside. Limit consumption of food by fasting, not drink water, not sleep, not bathe, brush hair, groom. No intimacy with families or partners except between mothers and children. Art and crafts during solar eclipse are not allowed. Dude, that's pretty fucking crazy. Because it's like it's like the sun and the moon are, it's like a mating ritual.
It's like gave them a little space.
It's like sun, close the door.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like, hey, quit being a pervert and let them do the thing.
I also respect, I don't know how to phrase it, I guess the sort of asceticism or the commitment, right? Because, I mean, the first thing that you want to do is, like, look up at the sky, you know? Like, when are you going to see this again? But it's such a sacred event that they're like, no, give them some privacy.
There's something kind of nice about that.
There's something nice about that. Something respectful about, I guess, like, respecting nature, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, Pamela Paul went to Buffalo to watch the eclipse and wrote about it for the New York Times. I was going to read it on the show, man, but it is absolute drivel. I mean, it is like 900 words of just like, we drove to Buffalo. It reminded me of the last eclipse when we went to Wyoming, and then I realized I was in Liz Cheney's hometown, and then we went back to Buffalo. It reads
so she
like
wrote a book report.
It reads like
like a school trip.
And then
after that,
it reads like a sixth grader like report, like recording their trip to like the science museum.
I have to say that's a really difficult thing to do, to write about an eclipse, such an amazing event, and like make people's eyes glaze over.
That's true. Yeah. It's just like if anyone could make it as boring and uninteresting as fuck, like leave it to Pamela Paul.
You know, I think if one hadn't happened in 2017, this one would have a little more fanfare, you know. They got to start spacing those eclipses out a little bit.
They do, man. Also, too, I wanted to say, you know how you were saying just now, Terrence, that the Navajo, you're not supposed to look at the moon? I think that we should have a similar tradition where columnists shouldn't be able to write or comment. nobody should be able to say anything insane. Like all these insane right wingers who are like, oh, isn't it crazy that the eclipse supposedly happens every 10 to 20 years or something like that? Like making it a conspiracy. I think actually when the moon passes over the sun, I think these people should disappear. When the totality is done, I think they should be gone.
Yeah, and when the sun comes back out, all of our enemies have perished.
Yeah, you look around, you're like, oh, where'd he go?
I'll do you another one to tack onto that. I think it should be against your religion to watch my pockets. You know, when there's an eclipse or otherwise. 24/7, 365, bitch.
I hate, you're exactly right. Like, if you're a pundit, a commentator, a columnist, you write articles, it should be forbidden from typing on the holy computer. You know, you should not be able to look at a screen, is what I'm saying.
It should blow up like that car that y'all saw. Like your laptop or your phone.
Those things couldn't be unrelated.
Also, I hate how, like, boring and uninteresting the right-wingers have gotten with conspiracy theories. Because, like, now they're just, like, now they just float stuff. Like, the problem, I was telling Tom the other day, the problem with quote-unquote conspiracy theories, and this is Thomas Pynchon's entire thing, is that, like, a conspiracy theory is something that defies narrative in a lot of ways. Like, you saw that with the octopus documentary and all that stuff. It's like, sometimes, like, it's hard to, like, lasso a narrative around this thing that is, like, sprawling and whatever. But, like, at least, you know, at least we try.
Yeah.
The right-wingers, they're not even trying anymore. They're basically just like, oh, look, there's an eclipse and cicadas are coming out and an earthquake, kind of crazy. And then they just, like, put an ellipses there. And it's like, okay, you're just implying something. Like, you have to actually have a narrative here.
Exactly. You have to complete the trip of wonder, right? You have to complete that circle. Dog, I was thinking about this yesterday because Robert Scavola wrote this the short essay called Finding Bigfoot, Looking for America. And he has this, like, amazing idea that conspiracies and like Bigfoot and these subcultures like UFO conspiracists or UFOologists, it's like it's not only about searching for this, like, you know, cryptid or this this supernatural event, but it's also like maybe kind of harkening back to a time like in America, especially in the 60s and the 70s, where, like, he writes about the hippies surrounding the Pentagon and trying to levitate it, right, as a protest to to the Vietnam War,
right?
And it was kind of like searching for this mythical America where wonders were still possible, the future wasn't determined yet, where, like, monsters roam the forest and magic is real, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now it's like the conspiracy theorists, they don't have the sense of wonder. They're just, like, Nazis, and, like, they're truly, like, in cult, you know?
The sense of wonder has been reprised. I mean, if you think of just about, like the increasing popularity of, like, you know, New Age kind of stuff and witchcraft and tarot and, like, you know, all those sorts of things. But I think it's a response to, like, us living in a disenchanted world and the most disenchanted country of that disenchanted world. You know what I mean? It is part and parcel of trying to get back part of that time when any future was possible, and not like us trying to just, like, not stare down the barrel of oblivion. Like, what we're left with now is we're trying to stem the tide of something bad and disastrous happening. And I think a lot of that is, and I'm not making fun of that at all, and all that. I'm just saying that, like, I think a lot of that has to do with wanting back a little bit of that sense of wonder, a little bit of that, like, and also something to do with control, you know, like controlling the environment around us and all that stuff in a time when we have precious little of that, you know.
Well, I think that's why UFO conspiracies and Bigfoot, these things were popular in the 60s and 70s because there was an erosion of public trust in the government. I think that's the first time the term credibility gap, you know, came about, which basically is a fancy word for saying he's a fucking liar, you know. But, like, people were like, okay, they're telling us that Bigfoot and these UFOs don't exist, you know? I mean, of course, people are going to only lean in to thinking that those things do exist, right? And this is against the backdrop of the Vietnam War and just, like, crumbling trust in institutions, you know, including scientists as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I just think that I was telling Tom this the other day. Of all the conspiracies, I think the one that has the biggest payoff, if it's true, the one you get to do the biggest victory lap on, is Flat Earth. Like, if it turns out the Earth is actually flat, you would be like, I fucking told you. I fucking told you. It's like you carried...
Just like in the days of Noah, nobody believed me.
Yeah, you carried the torch in the years of darkness when no one else believed.
They just throw a parade to you in the street. Kyrie Irving's there, you know?
I mean, like, if we actually found out that the Earth was resting on the back of a giant turtle, yeah, I would be like, you know what? Y'all got it. You guys got it.
You got it.
I'm not even hating.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, how does that work? Like, if the Earth is flat, like, if the Earth is flat, then, like, parabolas probably don't exist, right? Like, you can't shoot, like, rockets, like, rocketry, as we understand it, wouldn't
so
be
where
possible.
Do they go? Where do they go when they go up?
They go straight up.
They actually need the Earth to be flat to end wars. Coincidentally, the flat earthers are anti-war, just in design.
They're like, ballistics would not actually work. Gravity wouldn't function as we know it. The bombs wouldn't come back down. They would just shoot up into the sky.
They would
sky
just
forever.
Shoot straight up and then go
and then just plop
hard
right back
left.
Down on the warmongers.
Yeah, or just go straight right back down, right?
Well, no, they just make a circle and like hit the Earth from below, you know?
I got a cartoon like when he shoots a rocket, comes around, hits Fred Flintstone in the ass.
And that's what earthquakes are.
Yeah, right. And that, friends, is what earthquakes are.
Just a bunch of ballistic missile tests from the 50s finally coming back around.
Finally coming back around. Now, there's an American story and a conspiracy all wrapped in one.
Oh man. Well, it was weird. It was a weird week. It was a weird day. I guess, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday, April 10th. So I think the theme, right, of last week's show was that last week was a kind of like pivot point, like a turn with regards to the United States policy on Israel. Just to back that up, I was at the gym yesterday, and they had CNN on, and Jake Tapper was interviewing Jason Crow, who is a Democratic congressman from Wisconsin.
Well, he's not Jason Bourne's brother or some shit?
Not Jason Bourne's brother, not Harlan Crow's brother.
I thought he was from the Harlan Crows, you know,
the Crow clan.
Know.
He of clan memorabilia and Nazi memorabilia fame.
Yeah.
It was interesting because he was talking about, and, you know, I don't really know his background on Israel. I don't really know how he's like. He voted in favor of a House resolution to show solidarity with Israel following the 2023 Hamas attacks on Israel. It's interesting that, like, now he was on there talking about conditioning aid to Israel. And obviously, like, the conditions were so meager. It was like, we want to know how the F-35 or whatever is going to be used. It's like, yeah, I think I can tell you. It's like,
they have to call you before they, like, bomb a new university or a hospital. Yeah. Okay, guys, just to let you know that we're actually going to do it this time.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, if those are the conditions, like, well, whatever. But it is interesting. It does kind of show, and, like, I think even Nancy Pelosi may have even signed a letter last week. Right? Did y'all see that? She signed a letter.
I think I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that they were, calling for conditions on aid to Israel, which, I mean, again, I know that this, like, it's so meager and it's a drop in the bucket. It means nothing because these people are fucking, monsters. Like, they, you know, they want the genocide to continue, if I had to guess.
They're cynical.
But I do think that they're responding to a very real sentiment in the country, which is like, what the fuck is this? Like, yeah. Why are we arming these Nazis, pretty basically?
Literal Nazis.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just a turn that I would not have thought possible a few years ago.
Well, I mean, even, I would even say, like, even... I mean, I guess I could have seen this coming a couple months ago, right? The longer this happened. But I think that you got to give it up to the protesters, right? Who have been, like, harassing them wherever they go. Like, Nancy Pelosi, I don't know where she was at, but she got heckled. Joe Biden, infamously, I think this week, Jonathan Chait was talking about that protesting against like the starvation of babies is a liberal, apparently.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I mean, it's like,
wait a second. Chait came out against, he like, that's not a liberal precept, is what he said.
Yeah, exactly. He said that if Republicans or conservatives, Trump supporters had been doing the same thing, the Democrats would be quick to call them fascists.
I just want to point out something. All right, the project of liberalism, the entire fucking thing, from the minute it kicked off in France, because I'm not counting the American Revolution. That's not, in my opinion,
that's a fake ass revolution.
That's a fake ass. It's a LARP.
That was basically January 6th with a few more bells and whistles.
Exactly.
It's like. It's interesting, by the way, just as a side tangent, like how many European states still have their kings. It's interesting that England always takes the brunt of criticism for this. It's like, you realize like every state in Europe still has its monarchy, except for the ones that had national unity projects in the late 1800s, like Italy and Germany. And there's only one, really. There's really only one that actually overthrew their king, and that was France. Yeah. And that like kicked off the whole liberalism thing. But it's like, it's interesting, like do people not realize that like liberalism from its inception was basically just a protest? It was just like a pussy hat protest thing. Like that's exactly the whole thing. Like
exactly.
as a praxis, it was like, let's, you know, protest the king, and like, oops, we just cut off his head. Fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah, things got a little out of hand. Basically the origins of liberalism are January 6th esque,
yeah,
but pointed
not,
in a, you know,
it's not any more radical than like, okay, so like, right, like our understanding of like communism and like the working class proletarian dictatorship, these things came later. These things,
yeah,
like that's
right.
A product of the mid 19th century.
Yeah,
right.
The idea that it would be illiberal to like protest the commander in chief, like the head of state. That is insane. It goes to support my theory that they've like reverse engineered monarchism again. It's just like kind of like
that's
a neo,
right. Dude, that's absolutely what it is, man. I wish I could remember the quote, man, but this idea that liberalism is not about protesting or pushing back against like the powers that be, right? The system or institutions. It's not even about like granting people, affording people these rights to allow them to become fuller, more realized human beings. What it really is about control, yo.
Yeah.
That's what I've realized. It's really about control, because you see what happens when they're challenged with all of these so-called values, right? That they proclaim that they hold dear, you know? And as soon as those contradictions come up, and Gaza being the chief contradiction, like, you've seen that now it's about scolding. Now it's about, like, sort of channeling and directing the narrative, you know? Now it's about, like, and this is, like, chief among, like, the fucking shit that they do with, like, the shenanigans, is changing the meaning of words, right?
Yeah.
Like, this whole entire time, we've been going over what is Zionism? What is anti-Semitism, right?
Yeah.
What do these things actually mean? Like, and they've just flipped it in a manner of, like, 6 months to have it be like, well, if you're protesting against the starvation of children, that not only means that you're anti-Semitic, but you're illiberal, you know? That's fucking insane, dog.
But there's a contradiction here, which is that, like, the thing that you hear, the reason for, like, a popular front, a united front against, like, fascism, is that, like, the left must step up and ally with the liberals to defend the project of liberalism. That was basically the pitch in the 1930s. Like, liberal democracy is under attack from reaction. The left must make a cynical ally, must make a cynical like union with the liberal forces to salvage liberal democracy. Now like they're saying two contradictory things, which is that like the left should step up and salvage liberal democracy. And by the way, we don't even think liberal democracy should be a thing, because if you're protesting, like listen to what Chait says here. He says the goal of these protests and maneuvers is not to make the case for pro-Palestinian policy, but to abuse and deny basic rights to those who fail to endorse the protesters' beliefs. And yes, being prevented from holding a planned speech to supporters, stalked on the street, or subjected to sleep denial are all forms of abuse. Almost nobody believes these are all just natural parts of the give and take of public disagreement. He's talking about,
all right,
like, people...
You could take Ambien for the sleep denial shit. Like, stop you a bit.
Sleep denial is an insane... Like, but we live in America, pal. Everybody's denied sleep.
Yeah, I'm recording
like
this
like 6
with,
hours a week, yo.
Yeah,
like,
I hadn't slept good since I was 14 years old. God, I'm tired.
He's talking about people like protesting Anthony Blinken's house and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, or Chuck Schumer's house. Like, the idea...
Buddy, if there was a just God, we would carpet bomb their house.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We would drone them.
You're lucky that the worst they get is sleep denial.
Bro, the worst thing they're doing is TPing your house. You know what I'm saying? It's some shit like that. Also, too, it's very rich of this motherfucker to talk about harassment and all of the grievances, right, that are being foisted upon, like, people of good conscience, when actual people of good conscience who have been in solidarity with Palestinians lost their jobs, right? They've gotten fucking doxxed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They've been harassed. They've been, like, attacked, killed.
Yeah, no, you're right. And not to mention, we can't even get a movie deal now. Post-October 7th.
Can't get a movie deal.
We're pariahs in
Avatar
Hollywood.
Avatar 2, never going to be made.
My looks like
that's the grand travesty of all
this.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, continuing here, I have tried not to read Chait on the show for many years. Like, it's really hard to read this guy. He is obtuse as Bret Stephens without, I don't really know how to put it. Like, they're both really obtuse guys. They both, like, know how to make you grind your teeth in specific kind of ways. But, like, Chait, you kind of almost feel like he's got a fetish for getting screamed at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really get that from Bret Stephens. Bret Stephens famously got off Twitter because people were screaming at him. Like, I get the feeling that Chait kind of has a humiliation fetish, and that's kind of why I've refrained from, like, reading him,
like,
on the show.
He's just, like, looking through, like, the death threats and smiling with a grin on his face.
I don't want to indulge him, right? Because he's a sick fuck.
He's a sick fuck of detail, but he's a sick fuck.
It's simple. He's a sick fuck.
We need to put him out of his misery.
He says the most elemental premise of liberalism is that politics should be governed by a uniform set of rules or norms that apply to everybody, regardless of the content of their beliefs. Over the last decade, an increasingly visible fault line has opened up on the left between political liberals and the more radical activists. The illiberal left defines politics as a conflict between oppressor and victim and does not believe the former deserves the same rights as the latter.
That's right, dog. I'm part of the illiberal left. That's exactly what I believe in, motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Also,
read that sentence. That's insane. Basically, that the oppressor and the oppressed deserve the same amount of rights? It's like, what are we even doing here then?
I mean, does
that seem in line with those principles those brave Frenchmen put forth of liberté, égalité, and fraternité? I ask you that today, Jonathan.
Man. Oh my God, man. It also just makes me think about you know, how much liberalism is about mystification, you know?
Mm.
Like, mystifying class relations, mystifying social relations. And I mean, like he says, what the thing that gets me is he talks about basically that if you don't agree with, like, the left, right, then you're shut out. But that's all these people have been doing for the past, like, 6 months, dog.
Yeah.
Well, and also what he's actually saying here, he's not like, I know he's trying to couch it this way, but at the end of the day, what he's saying is that we are being abusive and mean to Anthony Blinken, Joe Biden, and Chuck Schumer, three of the most powerful people on the planet who don't have the same rights as we do. They have way more rights than we do. Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get a bodyguard, for example, that follows me around and protects me if somebody wants to.
I fucking wish I did. I'm starting a lot of shit if I did.
Sleep denialism is just an amazing turn of phrase.
Yeah, it's you really think that Anthony Blinken is losing sleep over this? You think that that he feels any moral qualms with what he's doing, but B, that he doesn't live in a compound that they've soundproofed walls.
As if he doesn't live in a sarcophagus. Like, this motherfucker doesn't sleep.
That motherfucker, yeah, you're right. He lives. That motherfucker sleeps like King Tut.
It's just like these people, they probably have like all kinds of like acoustic, like technologically innovative, like acoustic soundproofing on their houses. They're not losing sleep, man. It's just, I don't know.
Terrence, what'd you think about Anthony Blinken's indigestion? You know, what'd you think about his tummy rumbles a little bit and it hurts just a little when people are outside his house?
When it does, he plays a couple of sweet licks on the old six string. Isn't he like in a Grateful Dead cover band or something?
Yeah, something like that.
God.
He plays like Buddy Guy tribute bands on the weekends and stuff.
Just
like
the
that.
Worst shit you've ever heard. Not Buddy Guy, but like his interpretation of
it. Should be carpet bombed alone for that, man.
That's true. If there was a just God,
that is a war crime right there.
Before October 7th, he had plenty of good reasons to put him down.
Also, it's crazy that Chate would assume that these people have any moral center at all, right? That they don't receive the same intelligence briefings. They don't see videos of IDF soldiers just shooting indiscriminately on apartment complexes or sniffing women's underwear or
especially
like,
the sniffing the women's underwear, the shit that they themselves post.
yeah. Like they know full well what they're fucking doing. Like they're not losing sleep over it. I don't know. It's just he says abusive protesters usually meet critiques of their illiberal methods with a facile comparison to the civil rights movement. But that movement was designed for a political environment in which basic liberal rights did not exist. Black Americans lacked the right to vote, to petition for grievances, or exert otherwise basic
Thorpe
freedoms.
Licking his chops on this one.
I love this shit.
You're getting ready to dine out on this one.
The movement's theorists did not intend their carefully designed arguments to be a permanent license for any progressive cause to declare itself beyond the law for all time.
What the fuck are you even talking about? I'm just excited about that because I love that whenever you bring up the civil rights movement, whenever you talk about like boycotts, right? You know, with BDS, when people are like, well, we're just using a strategy that was used during the civil rights movement. And they'll be like, okay, but not those strategies, right? Not those things. It's right. Like they love to pick and choose what elements of either the civil rights movement or figures like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, right? That they want to like kind of like lionize, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Also, I like the implication that Palestinians have the same amount of rights that Black Americans have. It's like, if you live in a concentration camp where you can just be sniped or bombed at any moment, granted, that can also happen to Black communities in the United States, and we try to like pretend that it doesn't. Yeah. Now that I'm saying this out loud, you know what? Fuck it. It doesn't even matter because like the policies and frameworks that they strove for in the civil rights movement didn't even wind up coming true. That's why we spent a decade.
Dude, they love those parts about the civil rights movement where it's like, yeah, they were securing the right to vote, right? But when it comes to like labor rights, right? When it comes to like things outside of like that scope of organizing, right? Or political action, like fucking arming yourselves, right?
Yeah.
Defending your community, right? Then it's like, but not those tactics. But hold up, didn't y'all motherfuckers, and I'm not even y'all motherfuckers, like liberals, right? Like white liberalism. Isn't this how you conquered the rest of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just like the oppressed. It's something that you've said before, Tom, and a lot of people have said, but I remember you said this, Tom. It's like the oppressed is supposed to take their punishment humbly, right? They're never supposed to strike back. They're never supposed to raise their voice, you know? Yeah. I want to ask Jonathan Chait, like, What method of protest would he be okay with then? Because I guarantee you it's no form of protest, you know?
Or what it is the sort of idealized, sanitized version of like Martin King style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what they've imagined, like Martin King was like, oh, well, he did it the right way.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And really, it's he didn't do it the right way.
Exactly, exactly.
Honestly.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
But just like after he gets shot down in Memphis... then they can start, you know, sort of, you know, ascribing to him what they would do in those situations and like all that kind of thing.
Well, I guess what the point I was trying to make with that is that, like, he's saying it was designed for a political environment in which basic liberal rights did not exist. And it's like, man, I fucking... Okay, I don't know how many... First of all, I don't know how many videos I saw this week of them scooping up human remains from the Al-Shifa hospital raid. Like, I mean, man, like, we're talking, like, just fucking piles of body parts and flesh. I mean, it's just that plus the, like I said, widespread inhumanity and brutality of the people carrying it out. Like, I followed this guy on Twitter who is very good at, like, finding the videos of IDF soldiers who go out, and his name is Yunus Tirawi, and I don't know if y'all follow him, but he had posted this picture of this guy claiming to be an American sheriff's deputy who went and fought in the IDF. And so I went and found that guy's Instagram and, like, was reading the captions on his insanely psychopathic, like, videos and images that he took just massacring people in Gaza. And, like, the language is just straight out of, like, an SS officer's diary. I mean, it's like, these are vile humans. Like, they live in vile conditions. They're vermin.
They live in garbage. I saw that.
It's just like, how do you expect me to see these two things, right? Like, piles of body parts, and then just the brutes that gloat over it, and not expect me to just, like you said, want to carpet bomb Anthony Blinken's house. Like, how am I supposed to just contain, oh, my little liberal subject, you know, I'm going to do this the right way, and I'm going to...
Well, thankfully, the election is in November.
Thankfully. Thankfully, we can register our discontent.
And then they're mad about that, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, dog,
they're mad that Uncommitted's polling better than their guy.
Than the random character generator.
Yeah, right.
but, like, also, too, what did you think was going to happen when you've exhausted all, like, when you've not exhausted, but I guess you've suppressed, right, all forms of protest, right? Again, people losing their jobs, right? Or people being threatened, you know? Like, in the media as well, people being silenced. Like, what did you think was going to happen? Of course. I mean, people are going to show up to your fucking house and harass you at all hours of the night and follow you everywhere you fucking go, you know?
Yeah. Well, what we should have done, which is what Chase says, the movement could have run an anti-Israel candidate against Biden, but never bothered.
Oh, they would have assassinated him. What are you talking about? Yeah. Israel would have been like, okay, you know, we got to kill that guy, right? And the United States would be like, yeah, we know, we got to get him.
Yeah, you probably should. Yeah,
you probably should. Well, you do.
Right, the plane would have experienced engine trouble at 10,000 feet.
I love the pearl clutching about, like, you know, the dude we were just talking about in Lexington, that Rabbi Litvin guy, mm-hmm. that everybody's just keeps popping up in my TL for some reason. And, like, just him, I was looking at some of his tweets, him just bemoaning, like, the treatment of U.S. citizens at the hands of Hamas and all that kind of stuff. Like, Mossad had fucking murked plenty of U.S. citizens in their time.
Diplomats and shit.
Yeah, IDF. Yeah, like, get all the way the fuck out of here, you fucking garbage piece of fucking trash.
If we read an anti-Israel candidate, like, it would dovetail perfectly with Boeing's malfunctions, you know? Like, the wing would just fall off when he'd be, like, traveling en route to a campaign event or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it would work out perfectly, but, you know.
Yeah, it's... Well, that's the thing. It's like, you're right. Like, this week I've seen, I don't know. This week I saw, like, an associate editor for that Labor Notes outlet saying that, like, the left, even, like, the left is being, which isn't a sensibly leftist outlet. People I consider quote unquote comrades or allies or whatever.
They got the labor in the name, bro. I'm assuming so.
saying that the left is being like too purist and that like a Trump presidency would be a disaster for organized labor. I mean,
like a Biden. I'm not even gonna go there. Do whatever you fucking want. Yo, okay, fine, whatever. Yo,
and my position on elections is let come what may.
My position on elections is
let go and let God.
My position on elections is pretty much the same kind of position that a lizard would have to like the sun. You know what I'm saying? Just letting it pass. You know, like the eclipse, basically. Uh-huh. I'm like a bird, like a starling during the eclipse. Right? I'm just gonna be mum and be quiet and let it pass.
I'm just tired of this idea that like they don't have to work for a vote too. Just like if nothing this was going on, it's just their approach is insulting. Get in line. Shut up. Do the thing. It's like, no, at least, I mean, like, back in the day, they were all scoundrels and pieces of shit, but at least they bothered to come to places and pay lip service to, like, your needs and material conditions and so forth. They don't even do that anymore.
You could, I honestly, like, I don't understand, like, why they aren't just, like, saying, like, okay, well, we understand there was a genocide and you can't stomach that. We are going to just tack to the right. Yeah. Why can't you just do that?
Yeah, but just be upfront.
They can't do that because, like, one of the tenets of liberalism is corralling the left, and that's one way they do it. That's one way that they wind up, like, being able to, like, shame people and beat them over the head over. I mean, is there any truth? Like, what do you guys think? Like, is there any truth that Biden has been the best president for labor, like, ever? Do you think that he's, like...
I don't know. Somebody could say probably things he's pointed out and things that he's done, but, like... Is that true? Like, I mean, who, like, people love to say the best labor president since FDR, you know? And I'm like, what does that even mean, you know?
You know what's weird? You know, it's really crazy. I was reading the Mike Davis book, Prisoners of the American Dream, and he was talking about, like, in order to kill New Deal liberalism, Reagan actually, and I didn't even know this, I wasn't alive at the time, but Reagan actually campaigned as the new FDR. He campaigned as like the basically like the reincarnation, his biggest influence. He basically said his biggest influence was FDR. What's really wild about that is that Biden, I know they have said this before, kind of in the name that they use Bidenomics in the same way that they throw it around like Reaganomics.
Mm-hmm. And also Obama famously campaigned as Ronald, like
as Reagan,
echoed Ronald Reagan in his campaign.
Yes, it's this weird thing.
So weird.
It's where it's like history kind of becomes like, I think you've used the metaphor before, Aaron, like roadkill. It's like, it's just like by the time it gets to you, it's been run over like 800 times. And
you don't even
like
know what you're looking at anymore.
It's stepped on.
Stepped on.
Right. Like, I need a shovel for this shit. What the fuck?
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how you would test that necessarily. Like if he's the best candidate for labor, because like, I mean... Couldn't you also say that a lot of this labor stuff gained momentum during the Trump years, especially the Starbucks stuff like that in the, like the Waffle House, strikes and that kind of stuff. It feels like that was bubbling more during the Trump years. And also, isn't there a case about to go to the Supreme Court about the NLRB, like the constitutionality of it? It's like, I don't know. I just don't know if you can make that claim.
I guess people, you know, what people like to talk about is the climate. What kind of climate, you know, can organizing develop in? And I'm not even going to get into all that. But I mean, like, I don't know, dude. Like, I mean, if it's clear that this party not only detests the left, but actively thinks that it doesn't need the left to win this election, you know? It doesn't give a shit, then, like, I mean, I don't know. It just feels silly. It feels like this is, like, you know, like Charlie Brown in the football, right? Like, what are we doing here, man? You know?
Yeah.
Like, the assumption is that they provide, the liberals provide the favorable conditions for, like, you know, the left to organize, right?
Right.
A little milder conditions, at least. But, I mean, we know for a fact that they fucking don't, you know?
It seems that the opposite would almost be true.
Is true. Because, I mean, we've talked about it before, how the Democratic Party is the graveyard of social movements, right? And you've mentioned before, too, is the liberals exist to kind of suppress the left and corral the left, you know?
I mean, one of the bleakest things I've seen recently was Sean Fain at the State of the Union, like, doing big ups to Biden. You know what I'm saying? I was so disgusted by that. It's like, I mean... I mean, I don't know. I understand. Like, I'm not stupid enough to know that, like, I'm not stupid enough to assume that you don't have to do, like, cynical alignments with political
politics.
That,
yeah,
you totally have to do that sometimes. I understand. But, like,
be a cheerleader is a whole different thing.
Be a cheerleader for a baby killer? I mean, I just can't, dude.
And it's based on... A lot of it is based on the trade policies where they're trying to expand EV production in the United States and basically shut out all China-made parts for EVs in an attempt to basically do reshoring. And so, I don't know. Is that something that benefits labor? Like, maybe, but it also benefits capital. And so I don't know. I just think the jury's out. I don't think you can definitively say this has been a great president for labor. And
for
furthermore,
anything at all, anything,
as a practical matter, I mean, you won't know until like it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You know,
you're right. Like, we won't know until the smoke is cleared, anyways. On that, right?
If somebody's gonna listen to this, somebody's gonna listen to this and be like, "Oh, these are all of Biden's accolades." To which I say,
yeah.
I don't give a shit. Like, okay, that's fine. Yo.
No, you're that's right. Bad. I just cannot stomach. I'm sorry. I just, like, if you could make a good argument, if they hadn't done a genocide, if they hadn't done some of the stuff they've done at the border, you could probably convince. I mean, I live in Kentucky, so probably not. Like, it doesn't matter anyways, one way or the other. But if I lived in, like, a swing state, you could probably convince me, like, oh, this is what has to be done for, like, harm reduction or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I just can't stomach it. It's absolutely
disgusting.
I mean, what's disgusting.
Worse? People, I mean, I just keep saying, what's worse than a genocide? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what's worse than a genocide? I can think of a lot of things that are as equally as bad as a genocide. You know what I mean? But I can't think of, like, I mean, this is, like, rock fucking bottom. And, I mean, I've said before to people, man, if you can stomach that, if you can see the pictures that we've all been seeing for the past 6 months and the commentary and just the reaction from Israelis themselves and the United States, if you could see all that shit and stomach that and go in and vote, then, like, more power to you, I guess, you know. That kind of psychic horror I just cannot deal with, you know.
It feels to me like this week they kind of played their Hail Marys. Like, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but Biden put out a abortion campaign ad, like a pro-abortion campaign ad that, like, I don't know, a lot of people, even on the left, were like, this is really good. Like, this is really...
Motherfuckers were crying. I saw motherfuckers were like, oh, this is beautiful.
They were crying.
And all I could think about were, like, dead babies, dead Palestinian babies. Personally, that's all I could think about. You know what I mean? When I saw that shit. So, I mean, whatever. Yeah.
And also, too, he's, like, bringing back student loan forgiveness. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, they bring
it. I ain't going down that road again. Fool me once. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice.
What is he going to do next? He's going to bring up some weed shit again?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, we're going to let people out of weed. Like, there's still some people in jail for weed, but we're going to let you out, like, you know. Like, now we're going to let you out if, like, you know, you're an immigrant, you're a migrant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it felt like that was maybe a campaign. I guess what I'm saying is, like, the content of the ad. I mean, I agree. The content of the ad was very, like, capital P powerful, right? It's like, yes, like, the way that... abortion access in this country is now being, like, meted out is absolutely
medieval.
It is. It's medieval, genocidal, basically, in a way.
Things too, dude, like Roe and all that stuff, like that all happened on his watch is what's so, like, fucking insane to me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, like, you allowed that to happen with the pen.
And now you tell me
to have
that
something
you...
to run on again? You're a sick fuck. You're a sick fuck.
That is some sick fuck shit. That really is. Yo, you know what that's like, dog? That's like literally like, that's like teasing like a starving animal or something like that with a piece of meat or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
No. Gotta wait till November.
You gotta wait till November.
And then you just, after November, you just give it, like, the tiniest crumb of that you were dangling in its
And then
face.
You dose it in arsenic.
Or
and get
not
it
at
some
all.
Shit.
or you win and you shoot it between the eyes. It's probably more accurate.
It feels like like that they should have held on. My point there is I feel like they should have held on to that campaign ad until maybe a little closer to the election.
Until the day before the election.
Right, right. And it just feels like an early Hail Mary. It's like a Hail Mary in the first quarter. It's like, okay. Well,
people going to forget about that ad like by next week. Like,
but yeah, then second Hail Mary I feel like they've shot this week is they are now uniformly coming out against Netanyahu. Like, that's what they've landed on. And granted, they've been saying it for months. But, like, even Brett Stevens is in the New York Times today saying that, like, it's finally time. Netanyahu's got to go.
What did I tell y'all? I told y'all several months ago on this same program. I've said, they're going to be a fake friend of Netanyahu. I told you. It was when the meme was coming out that had Colonel Gaddafi and all of them up there. I was like, Netanyahu's fixing to join the chorus.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that.
He don't even fucking know it. You know what I mean? And rightfully so. No, I mean, we should put Netanyahu to death. There's no question about that. I mean, but he should go to Valhalla or wherever. Not even.
No, he should go to hell.
He doesn't deserve Valhalla. That motherfucker just deserves to cross the River Styx and not be good there.
I just love how now, like, all of these kind of gymnastics and maneuvers they're doing to, like, absolve themselves of responsibility.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the
point,
now
it's transposing it onto now Netanyahu, onto one singular figure. Soon, maybe, it'll be like, okay, now the IDF as a whole, right, needs to, like, or certain generals, right? But it's never an actual indictment of, like, Israel itself.
Yeah,
right?
Getting rid of Netanyahu isn't going to get rid of those videos where they're sniffing women's underwear and, like, nah, playing with children's toys and, like, it's not going to do shit.
Now, here's what they're going to do. They're going to depose Netanyahu, and the Argentine president is going to be the new guy there. That's the whole reason he converted to Judaism. He knew that job was coming open soon, like the coaching carousel. He's like, nah, I'll tell you what I'm fixing to do.
They'll send Juan Guaido. They're like, you need a job,
say
right?
Juan Guaido?
Venezuela.
Oh, shit, son. No, well, so Alan Dershowitz, man.
Send Dersh there.
You know, keeping with this theme, I had an article I wanted to read from the New York Times, actually. I didn't expect to do the entire show about this, but this is the theme of the week. So we might as well just lean fully into it. How Gaza protesters are challenging Democratic leaders. I thought the whole framing and tone of this article was really fascinating. It is a reported out piece that reads very much like a Jonathan Chait article. It's very much like the protesters are out of hand. They're illiberal.
They're being naughty.
I'll just start here. In Detroit, a congressman's holiday party devolved into chaos and a broken nose after demonstrators protesting the war in Gaza appeared with bullhorns. I didn't know that, but that's pretty tight. In Fort Collins, the mayor abruptly ended a meeting during which protesters demanding a ceasefire in Gaza glued their hands to a wall. And in places as disparate as a historic church in South Carolina and Radio City Music Hall, President Biden has been heckled and drowned out by demonstrators objecting to his support for Israel. Protests over the administration's handling of the war are disrupting the activities of Democratic officials and complicating their ability to campaign and at times govern during a pivotal election year. So I hope you protesters are happy. You've disrupted the ability of the government to govern. So
keep it up.
I feel like you probably shouldn't say that. Like, I doubt that's even true. Like, I doubt that we're in it actually disrupting the ability to govern.
No,
but
because apparently the genocide is happening just fine, and the death keeps, you know, the death machine keeps rolling.
Exactly.
Keeps rolling.
Mr. Biden successfully avoided a messy primary fight, but the Gaza conflict has stoked intra-party tensions. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, a Democrat who has disappointed progressives with his unflinching support of Israel, said in an interview this past week, "If you are now organizing people to walk away from supporting the president, then you are now de facto supporting and helping Trump. If you're going to play with..."
Can we just put this motherfucker in, like...
Bro, if that's what you think, give me the red fucking hat. Jesus fucking Christ. I'm not being serious about the red hat, but like, Jesus fuck. The day that Fetterman could badger me into anything, this grown fucking slovenly loser, it'll be that'll be the day.
It's fucking ogre.
That motherfucker couldn't organize a late night run to Taco Bell, and he's out here like talking about fucking what everybody else is doing.
This is a hilarious paragraph. The national effort to pressure U.S. leaders to limit their support for Israel has focused almost exclusively on Democrats, with former President Donald J. Trump rarely, if ever, attracting significant criticism from pro-Palestinian demonstrators at his home or public appearances. Mr. Trump has said little of substance about the conflict other than that Israel should finish up the war. It's like, dude, okay, he basically helped contribute this and stoke the flames, like moving the embassy to Jerusalem and stuff. But you can lay the 40,000 dead solely at the feet of President Biden.
They're the guy who's in office right now, the party that's in office right now. Also, Biden has also supported moving the embassy to Jerusalem over the years before Trump even fucking did it.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, listen, I mean, it's like, what they're mad about is the aesthetics of Trumpism and his followers. They're not mad about the actual aims, because exactly. If you laid them on top of Biden's, they differ in very few ways.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It talks about protesters outside Anthony Blinken's home, and even innocuous photos posted on social media by the White House of children at the Easter egg roll or newly planted tulips are flooded with comments accusing the administration of being complicit in mass killing and starvation in Gaza.
I love, you know how we talked about before, like, and this is towards the writer as well, right? Because obviously this is their sentiment coming out. As you said, it's very opinionated, right? But like, I love that they can just kind of turn off their soul, right? Blinker their soul, you know what I mean? Like, they can separate, like, because when I see the White House talking about posting pictures of kids, I can only think of the killing of children in Gaza. Right.
Exactly.
Now, right? It's amazing that they are so sociopathic. I mean, sociopathic almost sounds like too nice of a word, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're can like compartmentalize those.
Yeah,
things.
They can compartmentalize it, you know? It's almost like their brains smooth over and become like reptilian almost, where they can divide, they can just alienate these two things. That's insane to me, man. That is absolutely crazy that people can do that.
I mean, you're exactly right. It's like, you have to be a sick fuck to think you can just post photos of children, American children, having a great time here while our policies and... Let's also call, it's not just our policies, it's the political economy.
Yep.
Like we've said before, the defense industry keeps this motherfucker afloat. And yep. Who's buying all that shit? It's yep. fucking Israel. Yep. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Then it talks about an activist who went to a Biden fundraiser at Radio City last month and was removed. She said she had been redirected outdoors to what Biden officials called the quote unquote solutions tent. There, she was told she would not be allowed inside.
Shoot you in the back of the head. Some shit. All right, sorry, got to take you to the solutions room. Wait, why are there no windows?
Why are there no windows in the solutions tent?
Why is the door not open from the inside?
What's with all the one-way mirrors and the drain tile on the floor? Welcome to the solutions, dude. Yo, they just beat the fuck out of your ribs.
Like a baseball bat.
Oh my god.
Yo. These people are so fucking evil, dude. What the fuck?
Lauren Hitt, a Biden campaign spokeswoman, said the solutions tent had been staffed by officials from the Biden Victory Fund, an allied group, and from the Radio City Music Hall. It's... Oh my god, I just can't get over making your
solution
tiled
psychotic, yo.
Yeah, your torture chamber called the solutions tent.
I also love how, like, even though it obviously has a like I mean, I don't even know, like, nefarious connotations. I love how they infantilize everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, we're going to put you in timeout. I know you're upset about all the dead children. I know you're upset about what's happening. But just go to the timeout court and we'll give you a little snack, okay? We'll
give you some baby carrots. Let me tell you what it's like. It's the same stew that, like, I tweeted this on Twitter this week. Was, like, when you go to adopt an animal and they give it, they let it talk in this, like, soy voice, you know yeah. what I mean? Like... my mom and dad say that I sometimes have accidents in the house. Like, the Democrats do that, but for, like, you know, torture. They soy voice torture, you know what I mean? You get ready to go to the boo-boo room, and that means black side. You know what I mean? Like in the 60s, you had, like, you know, like, media code words. So, like, you know, if somebody said, we've said this on the show, like, if you read in the paper that a village was pacified using extreme prejudice, right. that means yeah. they killed all the women and children there.
Right.
They so yeah. they right, sowed right. salt in the fields.
Right. right.
Now it would be like
they gave him some ouchies.
Yeah. He's we ouchies.
Did some, yeah, villagers, we did some ouchies.
Villagers reported having some ouchies and sleep denial problem.
Villagers reported tummy aches.
Yeah.
God, man.
I mean, you know, on that note,
man.
On that note, listen to this. One protester, Hannah Ryan, 33, a photographer from Brooklyn, said she had been flagged by the campaign, asked a battery of questions about people she knew and how she had acquired her ticket, and had then been allowed in. She shouted at Mr. Obama, who told her and other protesters, "You can't just talk and not listen."
I hate this motherfucker, yo. I hate this motherfucker, man.
Amazing. You can't just talk out, and not
this
listen.
This guy comes out from his fucking Netflix cave, like, every fucking few years or months or whatever, to say the most deranged shit ever, man. And to tell the left and to tell progressives, I guess, the left, that they should sit down and be quiet.
You know what they should do, these motherfuckers, when they come out of their cave? You never remember Mortal Kombat when you just get somebody in the corner and start to leg sweep them to death?
Yeah.
Just leg sweep Obama and Biden when they roll out there. Like, every time they stand up to say something else, leg sweep them again. Just leg sweep them until the end.
Honestly, it seems like they're doing that to themselves right now, man.
Yeah.
Constantly.
I mean...
Holy shit, son.
Other elected Democrats have also struggled to avoid protesters. In Santa Ana, California, Representative Lou Correa's family and neighbors have grown increasingly frustrated with the loudspeaker bullhorns and shouts from demonstrators who gather as early as 6:30 a.m. on his suburban street. Mr. Correa, a Democrat who is often in Washington during the protest, asked the local city council to support an emergency ordinance requiring activists demonstrating at private homes to remain 300 feet away. The proposal failed to pass. I've met with them. I've taken their phone calls. I responded to their emails, and now they say they're at my house because they want to meet with me, that I won't come out. Look, I'm an elected. I get it. But why is it in the neighborhood? Why is it the family? Why is it my neighbors? That's what I don't
understand. Motherfucker.
It's like, okay. If you really are that worried about it, if you really like... Don't run. Hey, here's a crazy idea. Disavow the Democratic Party and everything they stand for. Walk yeah. away. Say you want nothing to do with these genocidal fucking freaks. You could do that.
Nobody's holding a gun to your head and telling you to remain there.
Exactly.
You know what's so fascinating about these people is that it reminds me of the aides and staffers who had written that letter, right? In protest, right? And all of these people in the Biden administration who've had doubts and shit. I love that these people are so tortured by not even their indecision, but by their empathy or sympathy. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, we hear you, we see you, but I can only do so much. You know what I mean? And that tortures them more than the reality of what's actually happening in Gaza. That's so insane to me.
Yeah. I love how they are all acting like, I love how they're all acting that, like, I'll just read this anecdote.
Just say one thing real quick, Terrence, before you start that, before we get too far away from it. It's bad when Mitch McConnell's more of a G about getting publicly harassed than you are. Like, people fucking, like, swat food out of that guy's mouth in public, but he knows, like, well, I have done some bad shit, I guess.
I am a sick fuck, I guess.
I am a sick fuck, and that's what I signed up for. So, and everybody, like, why are you being mean to me? Like, McConnell at least knows what time it is. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I also just have to, I mean, these people, I mean, they used to get thrown out of windows, right? The least that you could, the least that someone can do is harass you while you're eating your fucking meal. You should, they should harass you to the point that the food tastes like ash in your mouth and you can't taste anything. That's how afraid you should be, yo.
Yeah, like I should be able to like spit in your fucking, you know, pasta prima, whatever the fuck you're eating. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, well, that's just the cost of doing business, you know?
I mean, and it's like, I guess my point here is like presumably you would support these kind of tactics if you believe that Trump and them were fascists, right?
Exactly.
It's like
exactly.
So you don't think that a genocide is a fascist thing that warrants people expressing their opinions in whatever? Because how else are we supposed to direct our ire when there is no mechanism for funneling that criticism and ire upwards to these assholes?
That's,
you know what I'm
easy, Terrence. It's an election every 4 years. You get one silent vote every 4 years.
You're right.
I forgot. Listen, that's still not going to stop us from trying to badger you and bully you into voting for us. However, you can technically go in there silently and just voice your displeasure. Meanwhile, I get 1,500 or whatever odd days to run roughshod over the poor and dispossessed of the planet in order to fatten my own pockets. But for that one day, every Olympiad, you get to go in there and tell me what's what.
The anti-purge, man. That's what it is.
It is. The counter-purge, basically.
The counter-purge, exactly.
In Danbury, Connecticut, the president of the city council described being surprised by demonstrators demanding a ceasefire call from the city of roughly 90,000 people. In my mind, where are you addressing that concern? Said Peter Buzaid, the council president. You should go to the senator's office. You could go to the congressman's office. You could protest outside the White House, right? You might go to the UN. It's not something that I think would happen at our local council chambers. Mayor Ginny Arndt of Fort Collins said she recognized how emotionally fraught the war was, but she questioned what effect local action on the issue would have. I don't think Anthony Blinken's going to be like, oh, the mayor of Fort Collins just said this. It's not impactful to the members of our community, and it divides. I don't think I should do that. Yeah, I mean,
can I just, I'm royally insider now. I'm so fucking mad.
Jump in
these people love to talk about, like, especially local politics, right? And being active in your community, right?
Yeah.
And they love to tout themselves as like, well, you can come to me if you have any, if there's a pothole on your road, you know, you can come to me. But when it actually comes to exercising any responsibility or power, they just abdicate that shit. They're like, well, what do you want me to do? I mean, you fucking condition people to think that you're useful for something. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
that
yeah,
you are their connection, right, to that larger machine in Washington and across this fucking country.
But exactly.
Apparently, you're telling people that you're fucking useless, yo, and that you can't do anything. So they should kill. I mean, yo, oh my fucking god, dude, they might as well say, yeah, you can just kill me right now. I'm useless. I don't do anything.
I don't do anything. I'm completely impotent and incapable of effecting change. It's like actually what they really mean when every time they're out here saying, I'll be your voice. You can come to me. I'll be your mouthpiece in the halls of power. And it's like,
fucking not, man.
I mean, you're exactly right. It's like when you run, you have the D next to your name. You carry water for these assholes. Like, what do you expect? You can't just claim it when you want to raise money and when you're texting me 80 times a day and then not claim it the minute that, like, people don't like what your party is doing. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you can't just change it to an R or something like that, or just change it to nothing at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
either,
I mean,
leave the fucking party or, like, I mean, or fucking speak out, say something, you know?
Yeah, I think that it actually would have an effect if the mayor of Fort Collins and every, you know what I'm saying? Like, it obviously is doing something because something changed last week. So all of a sudden, all of you realize that it actually probably isn't great optics to be providing the arms and resources to carry out the most bloodthirsty, like, genocide we've seen, you know, in fucking decades.
In modern history.
Yeah.
In fucking modern history, dude. It's
so
insane.
I mean, I don't know.
God, dude.
But anyways, that's basically it. There's
I fucking hate these people, dude. I fucking hate these people. I hate these people so much. It's like they love to act like they're impotent, man. You know, they love to act like they're impotent. And they have no power to do anything, you know, and then exhaust. I mean, I'm not, I'm just thinking of Aaron Bushnell, or I'm thinking of the active service member who's like going on a hunger strike, which they're not covering at all. Because they don't want another Aaron Bushnell. They don't want people to learn about this. So it's like,
this is the first time I've heard of it.
Well, dude, it's either you get shunned, you know, lose your fucking job, right? Get doxxed, get harassed, or you feel compelled enough to self-immolate. You know what I mean? I mean, I just don't fucking understand. Oh, dude. That fucking piece made me mad, man.
No, I think you're, I mean, it's just like, what it is all these like elected officials, like they need the clout and the federal grants and the networks that the Democratic Party provides. I've seen the way this plays out in places like Eastern Kentucky and like small town America, where a lot of their like developmental projects are like intimately tied into the networks and people that the Democratic Party can provide. And it just fucking burns them up. It roils them. It just pisses them off that people aren't going along to get along. They're not like going. They're not falling in line to like oh, we need like creative placemaking art murals in our community. That they aren't like advocating for that, and instead are advocating for the government to actually do something fucking useful, which is intervene to save people's lives. It's like, oh, they just can't stomach that. Like, cause that goes counter to everything they have been taught the Democratic Party does. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, it's like if you're pissed off about them outside your window, quit the fucking party. That would probably have a big impact. Quit the party, disavow them. Say you want nothing to do with them. I don't know. Oh, is it just one man's opinion?
God, man. It's just the impotence, man. And just the hand waving that we can't do anything about this, you know?
Well, yeah, it's the small bean stuff. It's like, oh, you gave me a boo-boo. It's like them comparing them getting shouted at to abuse. To, you know, the Chait thing, like that, they are literally saying that like them getting shouted out is basically like being tortured in the solutions tent.
They're being in the solutions tent, man.
Yeah.
They're being waterboarded. Basically, when you yell at me, you're waterboarding me and my entire family. You shouldn't even be able to fucking eat, dog. You know what I mean? Actually, the people making your food should poison that shit, yo.
I know, and the thing is like in 20-30 years, they'll be like, this was very unfortunate. Very unfortunate what happened.
Dude, I just noticed that there are a couple people who, I don't know, I'm thinking of like the Will Stancils of the world and shit, who at first were talking about the left needs a moral compass, you know? Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess now it's either the left is too pure or they've gone completely quiet. Now that everyone else has caught up to us, you know what I mean? Now that everyone else is kind of like, okay, like, well, not, I wouldn't say caught up to us, but now that they've realized that this is like untenable and people are fucking upset, you know, now they're fucking quiet, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that they're calling it the illiberal left. It's like, honestly, that's one of the coolest things you could call us.
That sounds really cool.
That's so we've been waiting for like a demarcation, right? I think ever since the rise of the nascent Bernie movement, we've been trying to find like some illiberal left is like a very, that's good.
It makes it sound really cool.
Yeah, I like that, man. Yeah, to delineate me from the other pussies, man. I'm not one of those guys. I'm the illiberal left. I'll shout you down. You know, I'll TP your house. I'll do little pranks, you know. Maybe put a bunch of rakes around your lawn so that when you step on them, they smack you in the face, you know. And then when you're unconscious, we'll kidnap you. You know?
Oh, man. All right. Well, that probably about covers it right today. Right, boys?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I got that article really, that made me mad. Yeah. That upset me.
Well, before we go, Do you guys have anything you want to plug? Aaron, you've been published recently.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, man. Hell yeah. I wrote a short story that got published in Apocalypse Confidential, their special presentation, Strange Skies, Weird Worlds. So I wrote a little short story that people could check out. And they should check out all the other essays, poems, and stories in that presentation because they're really, really good. I mentioned earlier Robert Scavala's essay on Bigfoot. That was one of my favorite pieces in there. So I guess we'll leave a link, but you guys can check it out.
Hell yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. Also in the show notes, you'll find a link to our Patreon where we are doing innovative stuff, innovative podcasting. So I suggest you all go check that out.
We're doing like the Jakob of podcasting, you know. We're creating new levels of podcasting.
Yeah, and new demons.
And new demons.
new demons to roam the world. So please go check out the Patreon. Once again, it's in the show notes. And so, yeah, any final thoughts? Any word? Any comments before we check out?
Nah, just, I don't know. Just everyone have a good week. And last thing I want to say. I've been seeing this going around as a joke about, you know, how magical the eclipse was. And we could do that every day, y'all. Eclipse or not. We could all go outside and congregate in the middle of the street and stare at the sun for hours. you don't have to wait 20 years for an eclipse to happen again. You could do that. You could get permanent eye damage right now.
That's exactly
like the mental and emotional community benefits last a lifetime.
They do. They indeed do. You guys will all be blind together.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, yeah, go do that. If you are staring at the sun, make sure you're doing it safely. Do safe sun staring, please.
Make sure you open your eyes as wide as possible.
Yeah.
So you get all that vitamin D.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you next time. Please go subscribe to the Patreon. We'll see you over there in a few days. Adios.
Bye.